Let me just say this before I start, that I don't know what the situation is in your house, but I'm so grateful for a daughter that loves the Lord. And I just encourage you to just love your spouse and provide a stable home for your kids, no matter how hard it is. Provide a stable home so you can raise kids that have as much stability as possible to maximize the chances they'll serve the Lord. Please do that. Please do that. Sacrifice for your spouse. Okay. Here's a picture of me and my dad. I took that last summer. That's the yellow bus we got in Tyler, Texas in 1979 and converted it into a camper. And I think that's a 5-gallon bucket on top covering the smokestack because we heated it with a Baby Bear stove. And that's the porch welded on the back that we had the goat on. We didn't have a refrigerator. We just carried a goat, and when we needed milk, we just milked the goat. That's how it worked. Didn't have to refrigerate it. Instead of keeping it cold to keep it fresh, you kept it warm to keep it fresh, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. Kept it fed to keep it fresh, I guess. Let's watch this short video that I did for my YouTube channel. Haven't posted it on my channel yet, but let's watch this short video as an introduction to the few words I'll have to say today. Yeah, we'll do it. Is God's grace enough is the question we're trying to answer today on Life's Big Questions. And I'm here with my dad and my mom. Dad is 92, mom is 88, and I love you guys. Thanks for coming out here and doing this with me. So we're here with the brown truck in the background that brought our family safely from California in 1976. That's the brown truck that followed the green bus in the other segment that we did. And Mom, I remember being in that brown truck with you, following Dad, who was driving the green bus across the desert, and a gust of wind somehow, and maybe the hood wasn't latched properly.
We stopped to get gas, and okay. We didn't close the hood good enough.
Oh.
So the hood was not locked.
Okay. Okay.
So we got a little wind going, and the thing, whoa, it blew open.
It blew open, and it bent back over the top of the cab.
Couldn't see out.
And you had the presence of mind to apply the brakes and pull over. And I was really impressed. That's some good work. That's some good driving. Yeah. Did you see what happened in the rearview mirror? Did you realize? You eventually realized we weren't behind you, maybe, right?
No.
Maybe
no.
Came back for us?
No, I don't think I was watching.
Okay. Well, I remember.
But I think I woke up to it eventually.
Yeah, sure. Well, God's grace protected our lives during that situation and many others. And the answer, of course, from Scripture is that God's grace is enough. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound to us, that we, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's what the Bible says. So God's grace is enough for us. Just like that brown truck brought us safely on our journey, even though there were some challenges and some obstacles and some scary times.
Yeah.
And that'll be true in all of our lives. There'll be scary things that happen and difficult things where you wonder if God's grace is going to be enough. Let me reassure you that God's grace is enough. And I'm just thankful that you have tuned in today. And I'm thankful that you guys are my parents.
All things work together for good. For them that love God and that are they called according to His purposes.
That's some great wisdom right there. You can't beat that. God bless all of you. One reason you should memorize Scripture is so that when you get older and you can't remember much else, you can remember Scripture. I have known many people that are that way, and my dad became that way. He often asked me, do you have any kids in the last year or two? What are their names? Do you have grandkids? But he could quote a whole bunch of Scripture, and he often did. So while you have a mind, use it for Scripture. Amen? My dad often encouraged me with Scripture, even as he got older. We're going to talk about adaptability today because my dad taught me to be adaptable. My father-in-law, who passed away last March, who was going to be the Wild Game Dinner speaker until he passed away. It was going to be at this event he was going to speak. And then Pastor Dan's dad died, and the funeral was yesterday, so he couldn't come from Wisconsin to speak. So right before I spoke yesterday, my dad got to see Jesus. My dad taught me to be flexible. My father-in-law reinforced that with this saying that flexibility is 90% of spirituality. So can I encourage you, don't be inflexible. You know what we were as a church? The last few days we were incredibly adaptable and flexible. That really is a mark of spirituality. I'm not trying to drive the train, you know, in a crazy way. Just sometimes it's crazy, right? And I've often learned this. You often have to go full tilt in one direction until you realize that's not quite the right direction. We need to adjust 10 degrees right and keep going with even more power. So course adjustments are going to be common in your life. If you just set a direction and you go no matter what, that's like a bulldozer that doesn't care what it's running over. So I want to encourage you to keep being flexible, keep being adaptable. My dad often quoted Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise. Let's just stop at that word. What do you think of when you think of exercise? Sweat? Soreness? Breathing heavy and needing something cold to drink, right? Let's apply ourselves. Let's exercise ourselves. Last night after the tournament, I stopped and talked to some of the young people that were playing in our volleyball tournament, and one guy was kind of sweaty. I asked him, "Did you win?" He said, "No, we lost. We played two games back to back." He exercised himself. He didn't win. They got eliminated in the double elimination tournament, but they all said we had fun. And so, but they were exercising themselves. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. When you think about God, you should know that He is for you. The air should be clear between you. There should be no tension in your relationship. Can I tell you, if there's tension between you and God, it's not because of God, it's because of you. Maybe you're not being as adaptable as you should. Maybe you're saying, "But I want my way to go this way," and maybe you're kind of butting heads with God because He wants something better for you than you want to take. But you're fighting for your own way. Can I just encourage you to consider that there's nothing better than what God wants for you. And so let Him win that fight. Let Him win every fight. Be flexible. Be adaptable. And I'm not saying be a pushover on this earth. I'm saying you were not designed by God to live a self-directed life. You were designed by God to live a life directed by Him. And if you've had some painful things, some difficult things, some challenges, and you've set your course on a certain direction because of that pain, can I encourage you just to open yourself up to the Lord and be vulnerable and authentic with Him and say, "Lord, this hurts like crazy. Here's my knee-jerk reaction to the situation. Here's the direction I'm going in as a result of it because I don't ever want that to happen again." But that direction may need a 10-degree left or right course correction. And if God does that for you, it might need a 180-degree course correction. If God does that in your life, don't fight Him. Just say, "Okay, Lord, I want to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men." Can I tell you, it was the wisdom my dad gave me by quoting that verse often that inspired me to switch our venue to a tent, because I just thought there might be a few people that'd be uncomfortable, wouldn't have their hearts open to the gospel. And I didn't want them to have their heart closed because they were uncomfortable. If we're going to go to all this trouble, going to go to all this trouble, months of work, let's make it really count. And I think everybody was comfortable yesterday, and God let the weather hold. And even if a tornado had carried us all away, like was predicted by a man who knew storms were coming, would He still be a good God? Yeah, but I believe He honors faith. Sometimes you got to take risks. You know, You know where the best place to meet God is? When you step out on a limb. And I'm not saying go take dumb chances. Don't drive on the left side of the road on your way home because the pastor said you should take chances. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if God tells you in through His Word and He convicts you of a certain thing as you're having a conscience that's void of offense toward Him, then don't push back. Say, okay, Lord, it doesn't make sense to me, but I believe it's what you want me to do, so I'll do it. When you take that step, it's like stepping out into thin air, but God builds a step for you when you put weight on it. But He doesn't build the step until you put weight on it. That's what faith is. Let's be people of faith. We're called to live by faith, not by sight. Most of us don't want to take a step until we see that that's firm. And I don't either. We're humans. But that's because we're trusting ourselves instead of trusting Him. Let's be adaptable. Let's be flexible in having a conscience void of offense toward God. If He tells you to take a step in a direction, you go that way, whether you see a path or not, whether it's dark or not, whether you think you're stepping off a cliff or not, you go that direction. Get godly counsel. Talk to other people. I often talk to other people that I really respect to get advice. I think God wants me to take a step into the dark. Is that the right thing? And don't use that excuse for a long time. Talk to a couple people quickly and then pull the trigger. I believe it's biblical in life to ready, shoot, aim. Don't wait till everything is perfect. Not ready, aim, shoot. It's ready, shoot, aim. And if you need to keep shooting and do that, then do that. I'm saying in life, don't be afraid to obey right away in having a conscience void of offense toward God. And men, I wanted every person to be comfortable, and I believe they were. I didn't want to have a conscience of, oh, this person was uncomfortable, so they weren't able to trust Christ, right? It was my dad's wisdom, but it's from the eternal book, right? The eternal book is where all the wisdom comes from. God wrote it just for us. Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we should, Paul says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for what? For the gospel's sake. You know why the Child at Crossroads Bible Church exists? To share the clear, simple gospel. That Christ died for our sins and rose again. And when you trust Him, you're saved forever. That's why we exist. And then once you trust Christ, to disciple, to make disciples, as Jesus told us to do. That is, students of Jesus. How can I learn more about Him? How can I be more receptive to His direction in my life? How can I walk closely with Him? How can I utilize the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to do what God teaches me in His book? How can I do that? That's what a disciple is. You don't become a disciple to get saved. I don't like the phrase I often hear these days, you're a Jesus follower. That's not biblical. The phrase is, you've trusted Christ, you're now saved. That's biblical. And you become a disciple once you're saved. Now that's biblical. Not everybody does. Some people trust Christ and get worse. That's a bad disciple. You have an option now if you're saved of being a good or a bad disciple. I hope you want to be a good one. It means you're studying the Word of God. You're coming to church every time you can to be around other believers and encourage them and to soak it up yourself and go apply it. There's 167 other hours to go live out and be a disciple, but you're here for training so you can go live it. All right. Be adaptable. Be flexible. Become all things to all people. Don't think you're better than anybody else because you aren't. And I'm not either. Let's keep telling people that they can go be with my dad and with Mike and with the Apostle Paul. Let's go tell, we have the good news. Let's adapt our lives and conform it to the gospel. It's become all things to all people that we might by all means win some. We're not going to win them all, but let's share the gospel with everybody we can. Can you carry these little tracts with you? I gave away a whole bunch of these yesterday. I ordered another version of it, too, that will be here soon. But there's little sleeves. It's in the little coat room. You go out the first set of doors, do a hard right. There's these little plastic sleeves, and there's a little sign that says, take some of these, put them in one of these, and give them away. And there's a smiley face to remind you that when you give a tract away, you should give it away with a big smile. Okay? Christ died for your sins and rose again. If you haven't trusted Him, please trust Him as your Savior. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you can share that verse or the essence of that verse with somebody, you are qualified and commissioned by God to go tell someone else how they can spend eternity in heaven with Jesus and my dad. Number one, trust Him. Number two, go tell somebody. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Jesus. Thank You that my dad is with You. Thank You for blessing our event yesterday. Please encourage these dear people, help them to get some good rest, and help us to wake up tomorrow morning recharged and ready to go tell somebody else how they can know for sure they have eternal life simply by trusting that Christ died for our sins and rose again. Thank You that we get to be with these awesome, devoted people. The body at Childlike Crossroads is so beautiful, I believe, in Your eyes, because they are adaptable and they are flexible and they are serving You, not to get saved or stay saved, but because they are saved by grace through faith plus nothing. We're overwhelmed by Your goodness. Thank You for this time we've had to meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand and close.